something is wrong, and it's time to stand up. You are listening to the John Aid Show.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
You found it. You're here. You're headlong down the runaway train that is the Anomic Age. And I'm your host, John Age. Happy to be back with you here in the wee hours of the AM. We're sitting at 2:48. I've been trying to get this done for about 30 minutes. Please check out AnomicAge.com if you've not already done so. Like all the likes, subscribe to all the subscriptions. PayPal.me/AnomicAge, Patreon.com/AnomicAge as well. There's a new Lightning link at the bottom there. iPhone app, Android app, and newsletter, all at AnomicAge.com. Folks, I'm trying to maintain a calm. I'm just not meant to do this sort of tech stuff. I'm really not. I don't have the patience for it. I don't have the calm demeanor for it. I just don't. So please, if you are so inclined, I would love some help around here. I'd love nothing more than to hire a producer for this show. And someone that can handle all the stupid nonsense. Or better yet, buy some stuff that doesn't have stupid nonsense. What I wanted to get into this evening is free speech. I'm going to break down the Kyrie Irving debacle that's been going on for the last 72 hours plus. Because it's pretty obvious to me that, kind of like mirrors used to stay on them in automobiles, they said objects are closer than they appear. I'll sort of paraphrase it and say I think this whole situation is bigger than it appears to be. And I know there's some boob out there going, oh, you're talking about sports. I'm not going to tune in. Fine. Please don't tune in. Please never tune in again, because I will cover exactly what I want when I want to cover it. And tonight we're going to talk basketball, although not really. We're going to talk about the broader implications of the censorship of one Brooklyn Nets player, Kyrie Irving. And we're going to discuss that as it pertains to others that have already been censored. And more specifically, perhaps for us all, those that will be censored in the future. Because as I laid this out on a previous episode, if you control the history and you are able to manipulate the present, the history through the cult of academia, the present, well, that would be through the multiple arms of the octopus, the cult of media, perception. If you can control those two things, then you can assuredly control the future, because the people will be too ignorant and or stupid to understand the past, and they will have allowed themselves to be manipulated quite swiftly with those multiple aforementioned tentacles of the, I believe it's now six major media companies. I was about to say countries, but they're companies that control it all. I don't think I need to break that down or cut it up into even more bite-sized pieces for you. I think you can figure that out for yourselves now, can't you? A quote we'll get into to start things off. little JFK for you folks. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Now, once upon a time, that could easily be contributed to JFK, but I'm sure if you put that in your great search engine du jour and try to post it, it'll probably fact-check you and say that was someone else. So let's clear things up. That was Big Bird. It wasn't John Fitzgerald Kennedy. No, it was a big yellow and orange guy in a Big Bird suit from Sesame Street. That's who really said that, folks. So just so we can fact-check clear on the devices, it was Big Bird, not JFK. So there's a lot of different ways that we can shake this down, or I guess I should say shake this all out. I kind of chose to do it in this fashion rather than showing you a lot of web pages. I just chose to show you little snippets of images from the web pages. Ironically, that's exactly what Kyrie Irving did, so I hope I don't get, forced into an apology. But before we get into Kyrie, let's get into the broader strokes and, more specific, the broader implications of the censorship of Kyrie Irving. Because we've seen this play out before, in case you missed it. I'd say there was always a loose choke collar on the American people. If you look at various books that have been censored over years, I don't know, when the Anarchist Cookbook comes to mind as far as post 9/11. Various other books have been censored over the years. Move into the 80s and, I guess, to a lesser extent, the 90s. You had the PMRC, Parents Music Resource Council, that was seeking to censor the music. I guess as you could throw out before that, there was a comic book code. There was also censoring of movies with the rating standards and systems and those schema. So this isn't anything new. Just as Solomon said, and I've paraphrased all too aptly on this show, there's nothing new under the sun. It's all old hat. What's that old saying? If you want to figure out something new, read an old book. Well, the old books have been censored, so you can't read them. The internet's been censored, so you probably won't find out that accurate information. So it's all been censored as a mechanism of controlling the past, present, and by proxy, the future. That's what this is all about. It don't have a thing in the world to do with a guy dribbling a basketball. Not a thing. So we've seen others implicated as thought criminals in the past. If you look at folks like Alex Jones, Milo Yiannopoulos, Laura Loomer, Joe Biggs. I guess you could say at least they didn't Michael Hastings these individuals. At least they didn't Gary Webb these individuals yet. But they did, in fact, censor them. They took their access to social media down, a.k.a. the town square. They took their payment platforms down, took even banking away from several of these people. So we all should figure out pretty easily that this is all just par for the course. This is the new normal. This is the post 9/11 world. This is the post PSYOP 19 world. This is the post reality. This is the dystopian future that we've all warned you about. That is the current society that we live in. And most recently, I guess you could point to Alex Jones being sued for, what is it, trillions of dollars now? I mean, I kind of liken that to when you're a kid, you know, about seven, you're playing with somebody in a force fields. Oh, you got force fields. You can't get me force fields. Or, I hate you infinity. I hate you a trillion times more than infinity and beyond that even. Trinity is, you know, like this moronic, prepubescent stupidity. So he was first sued for millions and then billions and trillions and quadrillions, you know. I mean, whatever. What does it all really mean at the end of the day? And somebody out there is going to quickly point out, oh, it's a show trial. It's not real. Alex is a shill. He's mass disinformation. He's a Fed. He's a Zionist. He's whatever. I don't give a Rudy poo what he is. Because as I've said on this program before, the optics are what matters, not the reality. Because perception is reality, folks. Perhaps not to those that are, dare I say, awake to the scam, but perception is reality to the vast majority of the general public. And we all know how the crowd mentality, the group mentality works. Yeah, that groupthink, that crowd mentality. Everybody's in a group, so it's all anonymity time now, right? We can throw a brick through the window. We can burn a cop car, whatever, because we're in a big group. It's okay. It's that groupthink. It's that group mentality. So that's how this works. It doesn't matter if there's a small percentage that see things for as they really are. What really matters is the perception of the masses, because that's how the history will be written. And unless oral tradition breaks that media monopoly, then that's how it will be. I often wonder if that's not why the Native American oral tradition and storytelling is often marginalized, if not outright demonized, as being, oh, so inaccurate. Oh, that's not really true. You see, this book says this, so it doesn't matter what your oral traditions are. I wonder if that's not a proxy method. So if they can get you to believe that their stories, traditions, and oral narratives are balderdash, then you'll be quick to say the same about yourselves. And that's exactly what's going on here, folks. It's a way to control the past, present, and future by controlling people's speech now. And they can do that in many different ways. So they got, finally, Kyrie to take a knee and bow down to the masses. Just as they've gotten so many people in the past. I'm not racially making this statement, but it's akin to the Roots fictitious television series, where they finally broke Kunta Kinte after beating him and demoralizing them. They finally got him to say that his name was Toby, when in fact his real name was Kunta Kinte. And that's what they've been doing to all of us for a long time. Perhaps not me, perhaps not you, but again, I say all as the pejorative for the majority of the American people. They've gotten them to wear a slave shackle around their face and call it a mask, even though it doesn't work at all. They've gotten them to convince their children, relatives, and even grandchildren, to take an experimental injection that has nothing whatsoever to do with a virus. See, they've broken so many of us that it's really hard to differentiate those that are unbroken from those that are. Because we just broadly swathed and say, okay, well, all these people are morons. They fell for it. But I'm quick to say that also, but I'm also trying to become more proficient at saying, you know, these people were people that were stupid enough or ignorant enough to be controlled and duped. We've all allowed that to happen to ourselves at one point or the other, whether or not we want to admit it or not, whether or not we're talking about high school, middle school, grade school, or something. We've all been stupid enough to go along to get along. We've been stupid enough to comply and just follow the directive. Just trust the science. Just do what massa say. We've all done that at one point or the other. So there's no point in getting on a proverbial high horse and making others feel even less than perhaps they already feel after being stupid enough to just follow orders. But we need to come together on this. I realize those that have gone along with that insanity probably won't be along for the ride as those that did not take los inyecciones, pero that's not the point. We got to try to help these people while we can. And if nothing else, those that were fooled by this, perhaps they can use their own missteps as a mechanism of waking other people up. But let's take a little journey through the Kyrie Irving thing. You see, I think that this is a great chilling effect in place. This is self-policing and self-censorship in place. Just as Huxley was saying in that famous 63 speech at Berkeley, and just as he also underscored in Brave New World Revisited, if I'm not mistaken, the game plan and the overall op is to get people to love their servitude, to get people to self-police and self-censor. You see, it's one thing if the state has to come by with their lovely boys in blue or the troops to force you into the boxcar, but it's a whole nother, easier way to go about it if they can convince you to self-censor, self-police, and to draw the parallel to get in the boxcar yourselves willingly. Because it's all for the greater good, isn't it? We wouldn't want to hurt anyone's feelings now, would we? And that is the point. It is control. It is beyond control. It is subservience. It is relegating you to the lower class that they believe you already exist upon. That's why they have to tell you what's going on to some extent, because then you'll be complicit in your own demise. Then you will be complicit in the demise of your friends, family, and others. Because your silence and your lack of action is, in fact, action. Because like I've said many times on this program, people glean so much from what they perceive or see others as doing. That's why they want to fit into that group. They want to go along to get along. So if they see others complying, they'll be more likely to comply. And I've touched on this other times before, but it's also about habituation, habit forming. And it draws parallels to the word religiously, because the word religiously just means something you do with regularity, something that you do over and over again, something that you habituate. So whether that's getting up or going to bed and praying, brushing your teeth, putting on deodorant, those obvious things that many of us may fall into line and practice of doing religiously. But that habituation also transcends into the negative. That habituation might be having a drink each day, having a cigarette after this or that event, putting on your slave shackle when you go from place to place. Those are all forms of habituation. And psychologists know this all too well. That's why they specifically targeted the young with PSYOP-19 and the elderly. Two different reasons, but that's one. The reason they targeted the young, because they know that habituation is also important in childhood. Because habits that you form in childhood are harder and harder to break in adulthood, because you've been doing it longer. And it ties in intrinsically with those neurotransmitters in the brain that were set in place and formed at a younger and younger age. Much like how you learn to walk or how you learn to talk, those same cues, norms, and mores become habituated at an earlier age. And when they do, they're harder to break at an older age. So that's why they targeted the young with PSYOP-19. And the inverse, they targeted the old because they want you dead. They want you dead. And they targeted the middle age, I suppose, as a mechanism of self-harm, self-suicide, because they know if they can take out those boomers that they like to besmirch any way they can through different tones of saying those phrases. Boomer generation. They always say it with such disdain. So if they can convince the boomers to get their children and grandchildren involved in a huge sacrifice, then all the better. So they had different demographics, and they were targeting them for different reasons. So back to the point of Kyrie Irving, one of the main reasons why they are targeting him is because he said no, sir, to Massa. He wouldn't take the injections. He lost all kinds of money for refusal. Same reason they're targeting Kanye, because he is wising up. He's going along no more with the get-along gang. He's even going further and speaking the words of Christ. He's not going along with the satanic agenda anymore. He's saying, I got enough money for right now. Do what you want. I'm going to stand over here and do what I want. Same thing with Kyrie Irving. He said, I got enough money right now. I can wait this thing out. That's fine. And that's one reason that they fear these individuals. Because ordinarily they'd be in the protected class because they're people of color, don't you know? But you see, that protected class status has been canceled. Because along with being people of color, they're also people with a backbone. People that will stand up against tyranny. People that will resist. And perhaps most importantly, people that other people look up to and or listen to. That's why they are being targeted. You see, if either one of these clowns, and I'm sorry, that wasn't meant the way it sounded or came out, so I apologize. If either one of these men came out and said something against white people, it wouldn't be a problem in the world. It wouldn't even be covered. It'd be laughed off and glossed over at best. But you see, they had a history of standing up against the tyranny. That was strike one. They weren't going along to get along with their demographic talking points. That's strike two. And strike three, they went after another protected class that was higher up on the ladder than they were. You can't do that. That's strike three. So that's exactly why they targeted Kyrie Irving and why they targeted Kanye. So let's get into a little bit of what went down here, can we? I think we can. There we go. So how all this started? Well, if you want to really know how it started, it's because he would not go along to get along with the vaccine. That's really what made him a target. But he had the nerve to post this image on his, Instagram? Oh, it's a Twitter. Excuse me. He wrote Hebrews to Negroes, wake up Black America. So he didn't even post any text with this. He didn't post any text with this. This was just a graphic image. It looks like just a copy and paste of an image, most notably, probably from Amazon, because they're the platform that hosts this movie. So you would think probably that you would go after the main source, which would be Jeff Bezos, or maybe even the person that came up and wrote this book and created this film. But no, you're going after the person that posted an image. Non-pornographic, no child abuse going on, no pedophilia, although I'm sure if it were any of those things, it would be lauded and praised. But you see, it wasn't. He was going after another protected class, and that's a no-no. So that was perhaps fault number two. Then Kyrie became the target of much ridicule from everyone under the sun. All the big name sports analysts, broadcasters, pundits, if you will. We got Charles Barkley, who I used to at least have a modicum of respect for. I don't have any respect for any longer. It's his quote, "I think the NBA dropped the ball. I think he should have been suspended. I can't believe that we're talking about, we ain't talking about basketball. We're talking about this idiot." And that's Charles Barkley in his infinite wisdom reacting to the I'm sure he reacted similarly to the Kanye, but in this instance, he was reacting to Kyrie Irving. And if you went on to listen to Charles, he went on to say, you know, it's bigger than this because people look up to him and he's got this big platform and he can't just go around saying anything he wants to, I do believe. I'm broad stroking that message and paraphrasing it, but that's basically what he said. And the irony, I guess, did not strike Charles slap in the face, as it probably should have. Because if you look back at the illustrious career of Mr. Charles Barkley, you see he got in all kinds of trouble himself for, what was it, kicking or spitting at some person doing the photography on the sidelines there one time. All right, there's that. But he had a whole ad campaign, if I'm not mistaken, through Nike as well. And the whole ad campaign was predicated on this, "I am not a role model" theme. Because people, pre-social media, were looking up to Charles Barkley and holding him to that oh-so-high esteem that he is now holding Kyrie Irving to. And at that time, Charles Barkley's response was, "I am not a role model." So, what do we got, like 20-some-odd years later? The inverse somehow does not apply to Kyrie Irving. Is that it, Charles? Just asking, you know, for a friend, you know, how it goes. But wait, there's more. Let's see if we can roll on down here. This thing's being all persnickety this evening. That's okay. That's all right. We'll just move on down to this one. How's that grab you? And then we got Shaquille O'Neal. Same show. Coming out saying, "It hurts me sometimes when we have to sit up here to talk about stuff that divides the game. That we got to answer for what this idiot has done." So that's old Shaquille O'Neal. Once again, a guy that I at least had a tiny, just even the most minuscule amount of respect for. But of course, I don't anymore. Because it's all just too easy for you fellas, isn't it? And I can't help but think somebody must be whispering in your ear. If not, maybe you're just going along to get along as well, so you won't dare step out of line or lockstep with the narrative. You got to be like Shannon Sharpe and Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith and the other talking head boobs, right? Because they all said the same things, so you got to say them too. Can't dare have a thought of your own, now can you? So after all that, Kyrie gets up there and he says this via Twitter. "I'm an ominist. And I meant no disrespect to anyone's religious beliefs. The anti-Semitic, quote-unquote, label that is being pushed on me is not justified and does not reflect the reality or truth I live in every day. I embrace and want to learn from all walks of life and religions." So that wasn't enough either, you know, because he didn't grovel. And we all know that's what this is really about. whenever anyone says something that hurts someone's feelings, we get this mass public outcry from those seven conglomerate media corporations. Everybody then follows suit, follows the leader, and gets in line to kick this person when they're down, to add more fuel to the fire, more embarrassment. And just like I said in the past, it's just shunning in a cult. That's all this is. It's just shunning behavior in a cult. No different than Jim Jones, no different than Heaven's Gate cult, no different than any cult. That's what happens. If you speak outside of orthodoxy, you're shunned. So, in order to fit in with everyone else in Virtue Signal, everyone else gets involved in it too. And it cascades down into further shunning, further ostracizing the individual. We've seen this over and over and over again. So nothing new under the sun. Then we got the Nets owner after Kyrie didn't grovel enough. You see, that's really what this boils down to. Dave Chappelle mentioned this. Was it Cat Williams mentioned this? And others have mentioned this as well. I think even Kanye has mentioned this. That's part of the game that Hollywood plays. They reflect it back to playing this game on black men, which usually involves them being a subordinate, being a boob, being the joking minstrel of the show. And at some time, before it's all said and done, they'll end up in a dress. Because they have to marginalize and denigrate and relegate anyone that appears strong. Anyone that could be perceived as strength personified. Anyone that could be perceived as a strong male role model for black, white, brown, red, or otherwise. That's why the males are targeted and denigrated in the form and fashion that they are. And I think specifically the aforementioned people were saying that it was focused on black males. I think they just want to further the divide, to further dissipate any sort of bond or relationship that may have ever existed with the mother father, with the father to the children, because they know that having a strong male in a household, no matter what color they are, is integral to the development of the family, and more importantly, to the development of the children, specifically the males, not any less perhaps than the females. But I think there is something special and very important between the male, that's the father in the house, and the sons, but also equally important in a different way, the male, that father in the home, with the female children as well. It serves two different purposes, and I think it's equally important. I think you could say the same thing for the mothers in the household as well. But specifically, it's always the males targeted, because I think they realize how integral that role is. That's why every sports star or celebrity that ever comes out there that's black always, always, always is going to praise mom, 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 mom. Rarely ever, if ever, the dad. That's because the fathers weren't in the home. They were taken out of the home. They were incarcerated. They were doing drugs. They were rolling dice on the corner. What have you. There is clearly and unequivocally is and was in the past a operation to weaken the black family, to denigrate the strong masculine presence, and to remove that from the home. And cascading down, the crescendo is the society we live in now, highest of every negative metric you could throw out there. You know, males incarcerated, fatherless homes, multiple children that can't be cared for properly, multiple children on the dole, highest incidences of abortion. I mean, all this is not by happenstance. It has definitely been an op for a long time. Multiple decades, folks, multiple decades. You could trace it easily back to the Negro Project with none other than Mrs. Planned Parenthood herself, right? Margaret Sanger. So they want you to grovel, folks. They want you to grovel on your hands and knees. And if someone says their feelings are hurt and they go to the media with it, oh boy, you better grovel and grovel hard. You better see if they can get on Oprah or Ellen and maybe at the same time and just get on there and cry and grovel and plead and throw yourselves on the mercy of the court, which amounts to nothing more than the cult of celebrity, which is just a smaller fraction of the greater cult that is our society. Because you can't spell culture without cult. So that wasn't enough. And you got the Nets owner, Joe Tsai. I'm disappointed that Kyrie appears to support a film based on a book full of anti-Semitic disinformation. I want to sit down and make sure he understands this is hurtful to all of us. And as a man of faith, it is wrong to promote hate based on race, ethnicity, or religion. So I posted a little about this on Facebook, actually, and I said this is either emblematic of two things. Either Joe Tsai thinks that Kyrie is a moron and that he needs to be talked to in some sort of bizarre father-son subordinate role, when Kyrie Irving is a multimillionaire grown man with a wife and child, but he needs a good talking to by Joe Tsai, Tsai, I guess. Is that it? So it's either you think he's a moron, or you need to sit him down and talk to him so that he can be controlled more aptly. Because he's got to bow down to Massa, right? Right. Am I making that pretty obvious? I think that's exactly what's going on. So either way you slice, dice, or julienne this conversation, I think is pretty obvious. He's either saying you're a moron and too stupid to know any better, or he's saying you need to be reeled back in and put back on plantation where you belong, Kyrie. Massa say you can't post what you want to post. And then after that, the NBA announces, or no, my pardon, the Nets organization. See, the NBA didn't roll out any suspensions or fines. That's why Charles Barkley, and that's why Shaquille O'Neal, and that's why all those rest of the moron talking heads were so hacked off. That's why they had to all get up there and virtue signal. Oh, shamey, shame, shame. Something should have been done. He should have been suspended. He should have been arrested. He should have been thrown in jail. He just can't be speaking to anything he wants to be speaking. He needs to know his place right on plantation. That's really what they're all trying to say. So after the NBA didn't take some sort of swift action, even the commissioner was just disappointed, but he didn't lay out any fines nor suspensions. You see, then after all that, then the Brooklyn Nets organization stepped in and they suspended him for, as it says, at least 5 games without pay. Yeah. And then Nike decides to drop his shoe deal. Yeah, he was supposed to have his own signature shoe coming out in a couple weeks, I believe, if not days. And because of all this, well, Nike is just going to drop that deal. Yeah. All too similar, isn't it, to what we've seen before with others? I mean, we've seen this most recently with Kanye, but we've seen this many times before. Make no mistake about it. You saw the same sort of thing with Dave Chappelle. You can't speak out of orthodoxy, or we'll have to slap you on the hand. And we'll have to try to convince you to come back to plantation peacefully. If not, then we're going to send those proverbial dogs out after you and fine you. And through legal warfare and financial warfare, force you back onto plantation. Because massa say what you can talk about and what you can't talk about. Massa say what you can post about and what you can't post about. And massa say who is the favored protected class and who's not. So we got one more and we'll close out on this. So finally, after all that, a few hours ago, Kyrie lists, it looks like this is on Twitter as well, another apology. This one's a full apology, okay? Full apology on this one. They finally broke him, and he's finally listed his full apology. I'm not going to read this one to you. This is too long to read to you here. Let me see here. I'm trying to find. Here we go. To all Jewish families and communities that are hurt and affected from my post, I am deeply sorry to have caused you pain, and I apologize. I initially reacted out of emotion to being unjustly labeled as anti-Semitic instead of focusing on the healing process of my Jewish brothers and sisters that were hurt from the hateful remarks made in the documentary. So there we go, folks. I just can't read this mess anymore, really. It's sickening, nauseating, revolting, and otherwise repulsive that the cult of celebrity, the cult of media, and the overall cult culture that we live in has broken another man and forced him to apologize because other people had their feelings hurt. I'm here to tell you, folks, apologizing never gets you anywhere. Not with these scumbags. It may get you somewhere in a personal relationship where you've wronged somebody, but apologizing to anyone on some public forum or on some public venue to just get down and grovel on your hands and knees to somebody, please don't waste your time. It's stupid. It's moronic and idiotic at best. Don't waste your time. If other people are hurt, so be it. It's free speech. Like I said before, if he would have said anything against the white people or against maybe the Uyghurs, that wouldn't have been a problem in the world, now would it? Who was that boob from, I can't recall his name. Let me pull this up here real quick. Who was that boob? The Warriors minority owner. Chamath Philpotia. Philpotia. If I'm pronouncing that wrong, I don't apologize. Anyway, this was the minority owner in the Warriors organization up until a few months ago. But yeah, he came out in an interview and openly said, yeah, people just don't care about the Uyghurs. People don't care about these Muslims being murdered in China. They just don't. Nobody cares. And he further clarified, yeah, I don't care about that stuff. But, you know, there was no outcry. There was no huge public apology. There was no groveling tour. No. It went vastly unnoticed and swept under the rug. And then I didn't really agree with everything he said, but Enes Kanter or I guess Innocent Freedom Now, because he's now an American citizen, came out and sort of in a mild way just said that he didn't agree with Kyrie Irving's post and agreed with, I suppose, what had happened a few days ago with him, I guess at least being shunned by the greater cult. But he went on to say that this should also be at the feet of the Nets owner, Joe Tsai, because he's still doing business with China. And either willingly or unwillingly, by saying nothing against the Chinese death camps, against the Chinese murder of the Uyghurs, against the Chinese atrocities that are going on, he is consenting to what's going on. Still doing business with China, still never going to even besmirch in any way, shape, or form the great Chinese leader, Xi Jinping, right? Can't say anything bad about him. But Kyrie can post an image, a movie poster, in essence. He's persona non grata. I mean, the irony is just mind-blowing. You got these sports stars every year getting arrested for all sorts of stuff. Embezzlement, theft, spousal abuse, drunk driving, physical abuse just to random people with fighting and disorderly conduct and all sorts of things. You don't see any public outcry. You don't see any public apology. You don't see bleep. But I think it boils down to those things that I mentioned before. Another quote from Big Bird. If you want to know who's controlling you, look at the people you can't criticize. There's been a lot of people you couldn't criticize here and landed a sheep home and a slave in the last few years. And I think now the dividing lines between the protected classes are becoming more crystallized and crystal clear for people to see. So they broke Kyrie. They got him to say uncle, if you will. It doesn't seem like they've yet been able to break Ye or Kanye West, but hopefully he'll stand strong to his beliefs and his convictions. And again, I'll underscore this point. I'm not saying that I agree with any of these espousements, but I will always say that I will undoubtedly defend to the bitter end anyone's right to say what they want. Because free speech is not about protecting the lovely, fun, happy, positive free speech that we can all get behind. It's not about agreeing with saying, hi there, good morning. That's not the free speech that needs protecting. It's the free speech that is uncomfortable for people to say, and even more uncomfortable for people to hear, digest, internalize, and come to those realizations that are true. That's the free speech that needs protecting. And that's the free speech that they seek to erase. Because as I said in the beginning, objects are bigger than they appear. This whole thing is bigger than it appears, because it's not about Kyrie, it's not about Kanye. It was never about Alex Jones, Milo, or Laura Loomer. It was about you. These people were just the proxy actors to get to you. That's all this was about. I said this before, that Shakespeare quote, the world's a stage and we're all actors upon it. That is 100% fact. And so much of what we do every day, the actions that we take that make us the actors, we think that these things have no effect on others around us, but they do. They affect everyone around us because we are all intrinsically linked. We are all linked into that groupthink mob mentality. So by acting a certain way, specifically out in public or online or wherever you happen to be, you are legitimizing or delegitimizing something. And that in and of itself is what they seek to control. because they know they can only control the perceptions in those flashing shadows on the cave wall of vastly the bigger institutions, but they have trouble controlling the individual. So they seek to self-control. They seek to have people self-control and self-censor. That's what this is about. It's about taking out the big fish to cause a chilling effect on the smaller fish. It's about causing everyone to virtue signal and go along to get along. It's about keeping everyone in line, in lockstep, marching to the edge of the cliff, to the edge of that pit, or to the boxcar. That is what this is about. Make no mistake about it. It's about you. It was always about you. It was never about Trump, Kanye, or Alex Jones. It was about you. They've set the precedent that you can't speak out against a narrative. You can't speak out against Sandy Hook, or we'll fine you trillions of dollars in court. You can't speak out against people that you feel are perhaps causing certain things to happen. Or we'll put you on blast in every national and international media known to man until you submit. We'll go after your pride. We'll go after your dignity. We'll go after your reputation. We'll go after your money with lawfare. We'll go after it all until they force you to submit, until they force you to self-censor, self-report. And do to yourself what they want to do to you. I think we've kind of transcended the Gary Webb, Michael Hastings days. Not completely, but at least on a small scale. Because they are going after you, folks. Don't be mistaken and think it's these big actors. It is you. You are the target, not them. And if you sit by and allow it to happen to the big fish, them, then make no mistake, you will allow it to happen to the small fish. You, your friends, your family, your loved ones, and everyone that you hold dear, you'll allow it to happen to them too. That's the point. You can't do everything, but you can do something. Please get out there and do your part and make a difference. If you can. Or perhaps more importantly, if you dare. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Anomic Age, a John Age project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to anomicage.com. That's A-N-O-M-I-C-A-G-E.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to The Anomic Age. I'm gonna go get some more.